right. I've hijacked the podcast here.
Okay.
Got it. Oh, I almost clicked leave meeting. Got it. We're rolling. Alvin, you got to click record as soon as you jump on. That's important. You'll capture some really good stuff before you get going. I know.
We've been talking for a little bit here before we hit record. All right, do the intro. Come on. You're old hat at this now.
Yeah, I don't even do intros anymore. We just end up talking about, last week we were talking about Bryce's like pizza addiction. It's been three pods in a row.
One of these days we're going to have to get pizza. The star of On the Screws podcast on this one, I think, sometime.
Yeah, good luck. Hard enough to get that guy on ours, man. But so we're into season three for you guys.
Yep, season three.
We don't do seasons because
because we break it up into, like, in the summer when we do our pods, our sporadic pods, we only talk about our golf. Mm-hmm. And then in the fall, again, the winter when we start this, it's guest podcast. So it's kind of like,
gotcha.
That's how we switch. That's why we do the season thing.
Okay. Okay. Cool. Season three, episode
one.
Episode number one. Here we are.
Of the special guest podcast. And Mac from On the Screws podcast for the third straight year in a row is our number one guest.
Oh, I thought you were giving me this intro. Let me try again. All right. Are we still rolling?
Yeah, we're rolling. You go.
Okay, well, that's okay. We can. I know you can edit.
Computers editing. Yeah.
Season three, episode one of the Mulligans and Hackers guest podcast with myself, Alvin, and Chris. That's not bad.
No, that'll do.
Yeah, that'll work.
That'll do. You can leave the other stuff in. I don't mind.
Yeah, it's all staying in, dude. It's all staying in.
I don't edit anything anymore. It's the best. It's the best feeling to just be like, whatever. It doesn't matter if like something's, I don't know, a little off or whatever. Who cares? Like, we were talking about deep dish pizza for 11 minutes at the start of our podcast 2 weeks ago. It's not even a golf podcast. I think I titled the episode like "The Secret to Long Drive: Deep Dish Pizza" or something, like, because it was just, that's how we started off. We had Bo Blair on, who's a long drive, like, he's one of the top amateur long drivers in the world. He's going pro this year, but he'll kind of jump right up into like the middle of the pack, if not higher. He's solid, really solid. He played like professional ball and stuff too. He's a good, really good player, really good hitter. So yeah. So what's good with you guys? How's things?
Things are good, buddy.
Yeah.
Things are good. So what episode are you at now for your podcast? Like, how many are out?
When's this one going out?
This one will be going out, who knows?
Next week.
There's no dates for this stuff for us. Like you that it's Friday, guaranteed every Friday. How many Fridays have you done?
162. 162. Yeah. Wow.
That's crazy.
In a row, man. So I'm getting more gray every time I come on here. Yeah.
Again, I'll do a little flash of season one, of a picture of you from season one.
Yeah. I'm probably, I was kind of fat in season one. I got skinny in season two, and then I'm fat again. So it's just like how it goes, man.
That's kind of the way the world works now, dude.
It's because I walked a bunch of rounds last year, and this year I did not play as much. Got the 2 year old. So just, I don't even know if that was necessarily an excuse. I was just finding it hard to get to the course with like the pod and stuff like that. Things have been growing a little bit for us here. So just other things, lots of other things going on too. So,
I mean, there's a couple golfers on Instagram that have the old stroller going with their golf clubs hanging on the front.
Yeah.
Taking their kid.
I was like, I think I was one of the OGs, and I got a hole in one with the stroller at the course too.
Oh, yeah. Nice.
So beat that Instagram golfer with the stroller. Yeah. I should have probably, like, I told that story before, but like I took a video of the hole, like every hole before, and then that tee block is like 40 yards back. So I didn't bother to go back and get my phone from the stroller, and made an ace. That would have been a crazy story.
Murphy's Law.
Yeah. It's just like how it works. Right. And that's fine. Cause maybe there'll be another day that it happens. I don't know. I hope so. But
is that your only hole in one in your career?
Well, career. Thank you, Chris. Thank you. I had one when I was younger, when I was like 12. And then, Yeah, I've had a couple like hole outs actually for eagle from like over 100, but yeah, two hole in ones now. And I almost made a hole in one on par four actually, which is crazy. You guys see that one guy? You guys watch YouTube golf?
A little bit. Yep,
a little bit.
Like the one guy from Good Good has two hole in ones on a par four. That's insane.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Absolutely insane. Yeah, I almost made one of those a couple of years ago, which would have been wild. That would have been really cool. But
we did this whole series this year of YouTube shorts.
Saw that.
Of going for the green on number six.
Yeah.
Because as our game has evolved a little bit and gotten a little bit better, that hole number six was just elevated fairway, elevated green.
Dog leg right.
Severe dog leg right, like 90-degree angle right. And the only way to get to it is actually to go, because the tee box on the right is blocked off with trees. And the only way to get to that green is to go over the trees. So guys like Chris can kind of cut it. I can't cut it. I can barely hit it straight. So I kind of got to go right at it. So I got to go over that tree line. So off the tee box, I got to get height like right away. So I hit it six times this year.
Yeah, you hit it a bunch. I think I hit it twice.
But there's a couple in there of those videos that it didn't go well at all.
Well, I remember once I was attempting and I hit the tree and I went backwards onto 17.
Yeah.
And I ended up further away from the hole than I started.
But again, eagle opportunities were there. So
yeah.
And made zero.
How many birdies did you make though is the question.
I think out of the six, I might have made two. There's a lot of three putts.
Yeah. He's pretty much the king of three putts. So
yeah.
Putting is an issue. Always has been. Probably always.
Yeah.
That's why his game just doesn't get any better. Just stays where it's at.
Speaking of putters, can I show you guys something?
Absolutely.
We can go through the bag or whatever, but nothing's really important compared to this thing anymore.
So you just went to New Jersey to get this thing.
I just drove 550 miles. So like, what would that be? 800-900 kilometers.
Holy smokes.
Look at this thing.
Look at that.
Ooh.
Okay, so give us the entire spiel on this bad boy.
Ooh, the stability shaft even. Ooh. Yeah.
Ooh, the black stability shaft. Custom leather grip from the Grip Master. And the Tyler Lowy number 52. This is the number 52, yeah. So
total custom made.
Totally custom made, fit to my stroke. This is the first black neck that he's used. And the coolest part about this, I think, is there was a miss stamp on it. So like one day when this guy's like the Scotty Cameron, I'm going to have this miss stamp putter. He made it look cool. He like made it look like a trio of them kind of.
Yeah, I can see that.
But I'm going to have this miss stamp putter here. You can see it there. Like that's his maybe you can't, it's too bright, but that's like his tag there. But yeah, I'm gonna have one miss stamped at the mint at the Tyler Lowy factory or whatever, and this thing's gonna be worth like $1 million one day. The best thing about it is like it's just so clean, the lines are so clean, and he does this by hand, one of two people in the world that hand mills it on a Bridgeport.
Wow.
Yeah, hand mills a putter, man.
So is the face of that one milled?
Yeah. And it's like he asked me different parts of like my stroke and stuff like that so he could like figure out the angling of the mill. Let me see if I can get it so like you guys can see it there.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's too close because the light's on. I'd have to shut the light off, but there.
No, you can pick it up.
Yeah, there it is.
Yeah. It kind of looks like a Damascus almost. Man, it's so sweet. This thing's awesome. So like he does like a certain like mill depth and stuff like that based on your putting stroke and
cool.
Wild, man. Made a birdie with it first round too.
Well, there you go.
It's great. Don't get me wrong. I've had like, I got a custom Del Mar there, but
weren't you rocking an Odyssey for a while?
When I was younger, I played the number 9. And then for the last few years, I played a Del Mar. I don't even know where it is. It's right here. I got it right here. So this one I had refinished by Chris, Cousin Clubs. So like this is sweet. So it's like that way. Too bright. There we go. So like this one's pretty cool, and it's like kind of like bronzed out.
Yeah.
Really cool. Just very plain, and then it's got like the baby T grips. So like these things are like, I don't know, $3 million or something stupid. No, they're like $200 though. So like I don't want to ever ruin that grip, but I really like that one from the Grip Masters. Cool. Really cool. Glad he went with it. Never seen their grips, but it's solid. It's like a little bit wider, but very, very close. Sorry to hijack the pod there. I'm just very excited about that putter. It's amazing.
Man, after my own heart, I do love a good putter.
No doubt.
Oh, man. I have like a bag of them. It's ridiculous. Like, it's just, I even gave away a Del Mar to a buddy of mine. So
I'm just looking for a putter that kind of works. Still 3 years into this and still looking for it.
A putter or a stroke?
Probably.
It's usually a user error, right? Bryce is convinced that he got like a 5.5, a Phantom 5.5, and he's convinced that he's a better putter now. He did shoot 66, so I can't really say much. 66? But I think
six, well, on a par 72.
Yeah, it was 600.
We play at our home course for the last 3 years is a par 66. So
yeah,
I mean, it's just shooting even par there.
So how's that work?
There's more par threes and only one par five.
Yes.
Gotcha. Okay.
And
it's a lot more strategic than
all the parts. Yeah, I guess all the par threes are just not.
How long is it?
It is. Let me just grab a card here.
Like, what would like the average par three be? Is it short? Like, are they shorter?
So from the blacks total, it's 4,537 yards. Your par three on average is probably 130, 140.
Okay, so it's like a little bit of a shorter course, probably.
Like 131, then 170, 120, 153, 170, 150.
That's not bad. It'd be fun to play a course. Like, it'd be fun to be able to like kind of work on your skills at a track like that. That's like a little bit shorter that you can.
Well, a lot of the
you're a lefty, so the course is actually made for you.
Yeah,
so it's not made for righties at all because there's no bailout anywhere on the par threes.
Even on a lot of the other holes on the right side, there's no bailout.
And zero bailout right.
I mean,
so, I don't know.
Most of the par fours are pretty attainable. I mean, there's a couple that are like one's 304. It's uphill. If you get some wind at your back, you can hit it. The second one is going to be tough to drive because it's 366. And then, I mean, a bunch of them are in that 290, 285 range.
I hit number five, the green on number five this year, the par four.
Yes, 296 with an elevated tee box. But if you get wind behind you, you can definitely drive it.
And I hit the green on number 17.
17 is 290 as well with a slightly elevated tee box. So we get enough wind out there that if you can hit it high and let it fly, you can get a lot of good carry out of it.
It's a fun course to play, but what we find is a lot of the guys in town that play at the other courses, the par 72s and the Red Cliff's par 71.
Red Cliff is a par 71, yes.
When they go to Cottonwood, they it's like, well, we don't play well at Cottonwood. Well, you don't play at Cottonwood because you just get up there and bomb everything.
Got it?
After some technical difficulties.
We're back.
Welcome back to the most
popular. How have you guys been for the last 15 minutes?
Welcome back to the most popular unknown podcast in Canada.
Yeah.
Huh? Like that?
Most popular unknown?
Yeah. We're the underground golf
podcast. Could be the most unknown popular podcast. I don't know. You guys got a good group out there. It's got a lot of people. I check it out.
Yeah. It's
actually worldwide too. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah.
It's weird, eh? Like, it is weird, man. People when you, like, when you look Sweden at, like, and stuff like that.
You put stuff out, outside of my realm a little bit, right? You put stuff out there, and then you go and check and where people are checking your stuff out from.
Yeah,
it's like, really? Like,
I haven't checked out any of that stuff in a little while now, but I had to recently for some work we were doing with somebody, but. It's kind of weird when you see that stuff and you're like, why is there like 2% listener base or like even like.
We got a big, I can't, it's been a while since.
It's Germany.
But we like Germany.
Yeah. It's all just the algorithm, right? Like, it's if it gets out there and.
South Korea.
Pops into the algorithm.
Like, we're talking almost like double digit percentage of viewership checking stuff out from like Germany, South Korea,
damn,
Congo,
places they don't even have golf courses.
Yeah,
it is weird. Like, but again, being in this, I guess being in this realm of doing this type of thing, like you have no idea who's going to see it, who's
exactly. Right? That's what, like, it's the same thing with like any other content that you put out there, right? Like it's just completely random at times. Like it's,
yeah, I don't know. For us, like, I won't speak for Chris, but for myself, like doing this and chatting with you and putting it out there, that's actually more important to me than anything else. Like the followers, this is the friendships that we're making.
Yeah.
Just getting into golf. I mean, still, this is only our third season playing golf. Right?
So I can speak to that, man. I chat with Tyler Lowy quite a bit, and I literally just drove 16 hours there and back to go pick up a putter and hang out with him for the weekend. Let me stay at his place. It was cool, man. Like I think that's what a lot of us are trying to do with this, right?
Yeah.
Obviously we're 160 plus episodes in now, so the podcast and like meeting new people and stuff is important to us. Like the other stuff is it's just not really
that is going to be what it's going to be, but like,
yeah,
I know you might not think so, but I was looking forward to this kind of all year. This chat that we had, the first guest episode that we do, and you've been, this is the third year in a row. I actually look forward to it.
That's the,
you might not believe it,
but
I do.
I believe it. Why not? We're here. We're having a good time. Yeah, man, I believe
this is,
it.
This is, I appreciate your time.
It's I know what it's all about, man. I know technical difficulties. Luckily, knock on wood, we haven't ran into any that. Well, I shouldn't say that. So like, I did what would be like our first, not our first live pod, because I've done one or two before, but our first one where I was trying to do like multi-camming and stuff like that. So essentially just like, you know, have the camera on me and the guest, and then one on me, one on the guest. And I learned a pretty quick lesson that if you want to do that, you got to have really high quality stuff. I got one good one right here. And the other stuff is like, it's okay. Like I even have like another decent camera, and the third camera was like an iPhone 12 or something. And it does not translate that well when you're trying to do an iPod or a podcast with it. Right. So you gotta have good cameras. So I gotta get like two more like this one. Cause it's clean, it's crisp, but it's, I think we're still
going to have a upgraded my camera. But again, that stuff for me is kind of secondary to actually just playing golf. If I'm going to spend money, I'm not spending it on this kind of stuff yet. I want help, right?
Yeah. I'm still, like, I'm at the point now where it's, like, we're trying to grow it a little bit, right? So I just want to try and do, like, one in-person pod where I maybe go, like, visit somebody, or if somebody's in the area, they pop by, like, maybe not once a month. That might be a lot to manage right now, but once every couple of months, I think for sure. Would love to be able to do that. Yeah, we got a good opportunity coming up here soon with the Toronto Golf Show. So we should be able to catch up with a lot of people there. So, which will be cool. Don't exactly know what we're going to do there yet, but we're working on something. So, but the live pods they're cool. It's like, it's nice to be able to kind of sit there, have a drink and kind of shoot the shit and talk about golf. Right. Like I like that.
I would, and again, I think the guy who runs our golf course, he said we could come down and do like a live. Max said,
yeah,
come down and do a live pod down there. I'm actually terrified to go do something like that. Again, we have technical difficulties here. If I go down there, man, I'm throwing something through a window if it's not working right.
No way. So like, it's a lot though. I had the car full. So my truck's an absolute pig on gas. So I borrowed my sister's SUV. So thank you, Jennifer, because I didn't want to spend $3,000 in gas driving there and back. But I had, so what I have, two cameras, two phones, a monitor screen, a laptop, some lights, two microphones, three tripods, my Zoom recorders. It's called like a Zoom H6. You guys see those at all? Like it's like a, it's like just an audio recorder. So like wherever you are, you can just pop the audio in there, a couple XLR cables in there, and you can just record wherever you want on it, which is really cool. It was on like the Black Friday sale or something last a little while ago. So I grabbed it, not Black Friday, but whatever it was. So I grabbed it and some dummy batteries for the cameras, extra batteries and stuff. It was wild, man. I just had so much stuff, like roll in with like three backpacks full of stuff just to do a pod. It's a lot, man, but it's cool. It was fun. It was a lot of fun.
But yeah, for sure. And I mean,
a lot maybe of stuff.
One day we'll do something crazy like that too, but I'll just stick to what we're doing here for now.
Well, I've done one or two in the past where I had like a, I had, what mic did I have then? Oh, I had like the Yeti. Where did I put that thing? Because I was hitting golf balls and paint at it and stuff like that. It's all, it's up top. You guys can't see it. You might see it up top there. You can kind of see it in the top corner, but I was hitting like golf balls and paint at it and stuff. It was kind of cool. But I had that one and it has like a feature where you can like make it kind of connect or collect sound from all around it. People, if you're not watching me on YouTube, I'm making this, I don't know, circular movement with my hands here. But like these mics are just like, you just speak directly into them. If I like move over here, it moves away. Right. So these are really cool to have in person, but the other one that I used, like that Yeti one. So I just popped in between me and a guest one time and it worked. Okay. Like it wasn't too bad. Is that what you guys are doing now?
Oh no, we got our mic here as well.
But just one for the both of you, right?
Just one for the both of us now. Yeah.
So that's, and like, I hear you guys pretty well. Like that's what I had used before and it worked okay. Like it definitely worked okay. But these ones are just like very focused, like directionally focused, I guess. I don't know. Like you have to like speak directly into them, but the audio quality is awesome. Like they're really good. Right. So
I think I picked up a couple of these, one for me, one for Chris last year.
Yeah. Oh, I think you unplugged it. I'll pick up the dead air here while we're still recording if we are.
Did you get, are we back?
Yeah, there's a lot of feedback, right? Oh, we're good.
Okay.
We're back. There's so many technical difficulties.
This pod is going to be titled The Technical Difficulties. The
Technical Difficulty Pod.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad it's you and it's not somebody, you know.
Oh, no, I know all about it. Like I've had...
Can you understand what we're going through?
I haven't had any really bad ones. Actually, I shouldn't say that. I had one with, you guys know Kylie Puttycomb, the ladies tease. So she's from like this area. She was living out there, I think, for a little while. By you guys,
I do think I remember that one.
So somehow the whole conversation didn't record. And I even like saved it after and like went in and there was nothing. I don't know where it went. And so I had to get her a second time. And she was so nervous the first time too. So she's so sweet. She was so nervous the first time. And then I thought she did great too. Like we were talking, it was probably like probably well over an hour. I had to hit her up again. I was like, I have no idea where this went, but
I think I did that before as well. We did something and zero.
Yeah. I'm pretty habitual now that I make sure everything's kind of up and moving. I don't know if it worked for the first half. I just thought I'd record just in case anything happened. And then lo and behold, the audio tanked for us. But
welcome to amateur hour.
But it's like, yeah. So podcasting is, I know we're getting a little off topic golf. Podcasting's hard, man. Like there's a lot that goes to it.
And I'm like, I'm not technically savvy. I'm so inept at this stuff. Like, and I mean, it's 3 years in and I'm kind of getting there now, but I'm still so like, dude, I'm an old guy. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
this,
you are. Right? Yeah.
Yeah, I am. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah.
Hey man, old dogs can learn new tricks. I'm an old guy too.
I'm this old.
Learn all the time.
I just started a social media page and with podcasts and stuff. So yeah. Old guys can do this stuff. May not do it well, but we can do it.
Right? Oh man, you guys do a good job. I find like, I don't know. It's like fascinating to learn some of this stuff. Like I like technology and stuff like that too. So it's super fascinating to me.
If you look, check out our YouTube channel. And I started doing some of the shorts, like we said earlier, like Go for the Green and stuff. Like I learned to use that program called CapCut.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you know, I gotta give a shout out to Nathan from Sneaker Show Podcast. This podcast here locally, and they talk about shoes. Nathan has been invaluable in teaching this old guy tech and how to do things for social media. That guy has been a gem for me, and he's taught me how to use CapCut, and I start fiddling around with it figuring shit out.
And, yeah.
And, you know, it's, again, just figuring it out. Do it, trial and error, right?
That's how you learn, right? It's fun, man. It's so much fun to just kind of learn, like, new things. And the podcast was brand new to me. And now I feel like, well, it's been 3 years, 3+ years. So it's kind of coming, but it's fun to like learn new stuff of like doing in-person stuff. And I did one like recently, like traveled, did one. It was a really cool experience. Like I didn't realize how much stuff I would have. So I'm like filling up Walmart bags with stuff, like all my backpacks are full. But like, then you know, you're like, oh, I wish the camera was like a little bit better. So then you like think to yourself like, okay, do we want to do a bit more of this and do like get a better camera and stuff like that?
And I think down the road we might get
it. Yeah. Yeah, well, it's all kind of like your thought, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I still want what we do to be both.
Yeah, I'm a big like quality guy too.
I would really like to get more video from the golf course.
Mm-hmm. That's so hard, though, man.
It is, dude. It's so hard. Because when we go play golf, any video that you see is pretty much me, and I hand the camera off to him for a short video of me taking a swing, right?
Yeah, so, you need G Pod. You got to hit up our guy Paul at G Pod.
Yeah, like I know.
Thing you stick in the ground and yep. Plug your phone on it, but it's so hard though. Like
it is hard because when I go to the golf course, I just want to go play.
Yep.
Yeah.
Right?
The same way.
I don't want to do videos and stuff. You know, if we had something that we just stick in the ground and just take it with us, tripod type thing. Yeah, we could do that. But man, I just want like I find it so hard to golf that if I'm distracted by doing video and stuff, well, I'm not.
Yeah,
playing worse.
I'm the same way. I'm the same way. I'm lucky. I got I shouldn't say I'm lucky, but I do have a buddy. I'm not lucky because he's my buddy. Sorry, Kevin. I didn't mean it to come out like that. At all. I meant to say like I don't know if I'm lucky because it probably shouldn't be content of me on the golf course. There's much better people that we could be doing content with, but he's a videographer, so he's I don't know. Did you guys see the video of me at the simulator that I posted a few weeks ago, maybe? So like he did that and it was exceptional. Like it's really, really good quality stuff. So he said maybe he'll come out to the course and do a couple things. And I think that would be different. Like if you just had somebody come do video, right? And I think that's like, you know, where a lot of people like Mac Boucher just started up his YouTube channel. I think that's where it was like, he does a lot of stuff on his phone and whatnot, but to actually do a YouTube channel, you had to have somebody come and video it. You couldn't do all that on your phone. It would take you 7 hours to play around a golf. Right.
Yeah.
So I think it's really tough. It's really hard if you're not going to have somebody just dedicated to coming out and filming.
You know,
I just like golf.
Just getting somebody to come to the golf course and do that stuff for you and committing that type 3-4 hours to come and do that type of thing for you. Mm-hmm.
And then to have all of the like hardware as well to do it, right? And then there's going to be editing on top of that. It ain't cheap, man. You got to
we're not Rick Shields here.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So it's like, you got to kind of, I think of this stuff as like a passion and it's a passion of mine and stuff like that. So that's where I justify things. We have a couple ads and stuff that we mix in, but I don't want to flood the podcast either. Like, so it's not really like of interest to me. So, every once in a while, we'll just pick up a new piece, kind of like your golf bag, right? Sure. You know, you want to pick up a new wedge or whatever it is, or a new putter and whatever. So you find a little piece and grab it. So the thing if I could give any suggestion is wait and save a bit of money and get quality stuff. Cause like these mics, like, you know, they're expensive. We're talking Canadian dollars, so we don't have to do any weird conversions or whatever. They might be like $300-$350, but then you'll have it for a long time, right? And so you were like into music, weren't you, Alan?
Yes, I was.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So you would understand that probably even better than I would, but it took some trial and error to kind of find like a good mic. So when we had two great episodes back to back, Carrie Moffitt and Jacqueline Lee, both like exceptional female golfers. One of them's a coach. One of them's was a player at Ohio State. And I had like this kind of thing going on, like my whole pod, because like that mic popped. Right. And like Bryce still uses that one. So that's why I was like, I want to make sure I get some good headphones that so I can hear that happening and get a good mic. And hopefully we avoid that. I don't know. So here we are. We haven't had that issue. since. So just got to remember to click record because that's sometimes a problem for me.
Yeah, that's a problem too. Yeah. I'm getting all these computers that don't freeze up.
So let's talk some golf.
Yeah, let's talk some golf.
Podcast stuff.
Chris is not quite into the whole podcast thing. He's more into talking about his golf and his and how shitty I am and how good he is and blah, blah, blah.
So Chris is a cross-handed player, right?
I am, yeah.
That's wild, man. I've only seen that. I've seen two players. One of them, you guys know Callum from out there.
Yep, yep.
So, like, that's crazy, especially because he's so damn good, too. But, yeah, that's got to be so difficult. Do you, like, so you're a righty. Do you change it up at all for any stroke? Like, any putt? Like, do you putt lefty or anything like that?
Nope. No, I mean, righty? For putting, I guess I go, I almost go side by side with my hands. Like, side by side on my super stroke grip.
So okay.
It's not really left hand low. It's just more or less side by side. But other than that, no, it's all consistently cross handed. I find that with, you know, chipping, it gives me a lot more control and I'm not as wristy.
Yeah.
And well,
wasn't it Fitz was doing that? I think Fitz was doing the cross handed chipping, right? Matt Fitzpatrick.
Yeah, I think some of the guys do it when they get the yips a little bit. They'll change it up a little bit. But
I should do that.
Yeah, no, it's just something I've always done. I mean, I play golf or I play hockey left-handed, so right. I should have a left-handed set of golf clubs. But I think for as much as I played as a kid, which was next to none, every time we went out there, I just grabbed a right-handed set, and nobody really showed me how to do it. And I was just like, "Oh, okay, this is what feels good to me, and this is how I did it." And
yeah, that's kind of the same story with Callum. Same thing, like less equipment availability and stuff like that. So you just end up playing cross-handed.
It's cool though. And I mean, it's crazy because every time we, you know, we'll golf with someone new once in a while and somebody will look at me and after I hit my shot, they're just looking at me and staring at me and giving me the look. And I'm like, yes, I just hit that cross-handed. And they're like, I that doesn't make any sense. And I'm like,
they're like cross-eyed looking at you. Like what the hell
just happened? Well, I mean, but from a personal and a friendship standpoint, when we started 3 years ago, his cross-handed swing
was a mess.
It was like a full body seizure.
Yeah,
like I had no idea how he actually got the club face through the ball with his takeaway and the inability for him to turn his head. I mean, it literally looked like he was having a seizure. And now here we are 3 years later and almost, you know, 300 rounds later.
It
doesn't look so bad. And again,
well, I think part of that was my injury, like having to, forcing me to slow down, right? Because when I tore my Achilles and I was out for two months, I was in a boot when I came back, and it was kind of, you know, I had no choice if I wanted to play golf to slow my swing down. It was either that or I didn't play. So,
you think you'll just stick with it, or are you ever going to bite the bullet and try and go one way or the other? Or are you just
gonna I'm just going to stick with it. I've thought about it, but I'm like, there's no way that, like, I've worked hard to get my golf game to where it is now. And I mean, I'm almost a single digit handicap, and I'm just kind of, I'm not opposed to a normal right-handed swing, but I'm kind of like, well, it's my game. It works for me. And I mean, what am I going to do? Like, I mean, what's to say I'm going to gain anything in my game if I go the other way?
Might not.
I might get worse.
Might get worse. Probably would for a little while.
Right. Well, I'll definitely get worse for a little while for sure if I tried it.
Maybe you should try it.
No.
You won't be worse than Helmut. Still be fine, right? Still be better than Helmut.
As long as I can get onto the green the same amount of strokes he can, it's fine.
The putting's fine. Yeah.
He beats the guy. I mean, I think we were kind of working it out. Like, he almost gains half a stroke per hole on the greens over me in an eighth.
Alvin, come on.
Dude, I'm just, yeah, I know.
Aren't you rolling cool putters too? Don't you have cool stuff? Well, you had like an 8802 or a design like that. You can't be rolling that if you got problems. You got to have a lot of confidence.
I don't roll the old the Tommy Armour Silver Scott. I don't roll that one anymore. I went to a Scotty Cameron, an Odyssey, sorry, and rolled that for a while. And then I went to a Nike Method, and I used
a blade? A blade method?
Yeah. It's kind of got like half moon on the back.
It's similar to a Delmar.
You gotta get a
cavity back Delmar though.
Yeah. I feel like you showed me that one before. Yeah. I don't know, man. These are putters for players. You might need like a something with a big old back on
it. You need a Happy like Gilmore like hockey stick type
putter. He needs like a Fisher Price putter at this point.
Hey, not exactly.
He just needs the auto two putt. Just click a button like at the same right? Just auto two putter.
Well, we always joke because if he could ever putt, when the rest of his game is going, because we call him the fairway finder for a reason. That's why we do so well in scrambles. Because we just have him lay out a bomb, and he's pretty good at hitting the fairway. And, you know, I'm more of a – well, the last year or so, I've played a lot more strategic game where I kind of just stay out of trouble. But when we're in scrambles, it allows me to just swing hard. Because if I can connect on one, I can hit a ball a long ways. But, I mean, with Alvin laying him out there in our scramble team, it's like, okay, you guys got the green light now. And then once we get on the green, that. It's kind of, you know.
And I worked on my driving this year, and my driving really came – again, my putting is not there, but the other parts of my game that I was working on really came around this year. Like, I think I probably gained about 25, 30 yards on my driver.
Yep.
Yeah. If I couldn't putt, I wouldn't be able to break 90. There's no way. Yeah. Like, I just roll.
And I mean,
it's almost impossible to break 90 if you can't putt, man. Like, it's so difficult. And on Cottonwood, those are the hardest greens in town for us. Like,
two-tier greens and huge slopes.
Yeah, our course is nasty. Like I was saying earlier, it's really nasty. So like being able to putt helps a lot because we're, I don't know, like the game's in a tough spot. It's in a dark place sometimes. So it's not a good spot, but it's fine. Like if you can putt, hey, you can keep it together. So
putting's all mental. Fairway.
So
putting's all mental.
It's funny though. Like my game is just so flawed. So like I could shoot a 70 something in the morning and a 80 something in the afternoon. Doesn't matter. Like
I have been there. It's, I mean, we've all been there. I'm pretty sure this year we went out in the morning and shot like almost a 90 and in the afternoon shot like a 72. And I'm like, oh, okay. So that doesn't make any sense whatsoever, but okay.
All feels the same too.
Yeah,
you know, feels the same. So
and we had some like personal milestones this year golfing, and again we're in our third year. So one of our goals between both of us was at the par 66 course to break 70.
Right.
I didn't get. I think I got shot at 72.
I think that was 72. Was
my best. Chris twice shot 69.
Nice. So. Yeah. That's really good because, like you guys said, it's kind of tough too, right? Because if it's shorter, it's got to fight you in some ways.
You have a lot narrower landing areas. The greens are tough to stick. I mean, there's a lot more challenges in regards to balance the fact that it is short. And I mean, the first time I shot the 69, I remember we played the back first that day, and we were on hole six, which is a dogleg right, and I think I made a wicked par save or something stupid, and Alvin just kind of looks at me, and he's like, you must be having a pretty good back nine.
Because I was playing like absolute.
Yeah, well, he was not having a good day.
And I was so frustrated in my own head. I wasn't even realizing what was going on around me. I was just so in my own head.
And I really wasn't focused on what I was doing either. So
So we played reverse tees that day. So that would have been like 15? No, 16.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so like 15 holes into it, I'm kind of looking over going, dude, you must be playing like really well because it's like fairway green, two putt off, fairway green, two putt off. Oh, here's the birdie, right? And not seeing too many squares on the card. And it's like finally walking up off that green after like three or four putted that.
Then we went to seven.
And dude, you must be having a really good round. And you didn't really say anything, just walked to the golf cart type thing, right? And then we go to seven.
Which is hole 16,
It would have been hole 16. It's a par three again, another tough par three.
Toughest par three.
Yeah, it's the toughest par three. And you hit the green?
Nope, I missed right, but I chipped close and tapped in for par.
And so then I knew you were close to breaking six. So then I was kind of rooting for him to... you know, do it right.
Yeah, and then he asked me what I was doing. He's like, you must be like plus two, one or two or three on this nine. And I'm like, dude, I'm plus three total. And he's like, plus three total. I'm like, yeah, like I'm plus three through 16 holes right now. And he's That's like good golf, crap.
Regardless of like the course and stuff, like we've said this so many times, like the ball still got to go in the hole. You still got to be able to hit in the hole, right? So it's like, you know,
even if they're shorter par fours,
like you still got to be able to like be accurate and stuff like that, or you're gonna just put yourself in damage. You probably didn't lose a ball either, I guess, if you're in it that well.
No, I didn't lose a ball that day. And I mean, I have one buddy who his home course is Redcliffe, and he's always like, "Oh yeah," he's like, "it's a par 66. How difficult could it be?" And then he comes down there and plays, and he shoots like 90 some odd. And I'm like, "Yeah, it's so easy, right?"
Yeah.
Then so, anyways, I went to 17, and I said to Alvin after I said that I was plus three, and I mean, in my head, I'm thinking, I'm like, I need one good drive, two good approach shots, because 18 was a par three. I was like, and four good putts. That's all I need. So I made a good drive. I made a good approach shot. My first putt, I think I was an inch from the hole on my birdie putt on 17. And it just came up just short. And I was like, are you kidding me? So then 18, I hit it on the green. And I go for a putt again. And I lift it for my birdie and tapped in for par. And nice. I was like, well, I mean, it could have been lower than 69, but I was like, 69 is amazing.
You got to be happy with that, man. That's
good. I was stoked.
Plus three is good. I can't think of like when I played any of the small, like, you know, courses that might be a little bit smaller. We have this like little one out here called, I had like a wild day. I had two lip outs. It's like a little par three track. Got a couple par fours, and I lipped out two, they would have been hole in ones if they went in. So, two in one day, which was pretty crazy.
That's insane.
And, I remember, I think I shot like four under or something. I had four birdies and the rest were pars, like just part out, no bogeys.
That's
crazy. And all the par threes are like 120 and stuff. It was like, I only had like a wedge, maybe an 8-iron, something like that. And then like the par fours, you just hit an 8-iron out and kind of playing from there. So I was just kind of walking with that. And it was just one of those days where like a few putts went from like 20 feet.
Yep.
It's just good, man. That happens in golf. And
I played my first nine holes under par.
Yep.
So I shot the back nine, one under. I just can't put two back-to-back nines together because I went plus 12 when I made the turn.
Yeah, that was so rough that day.
Yeah.
But it was, again, to play nine holes under one under, I mean, I was in the cart with one of our crew guys, and I mean, it was just literal fairway, green, two-putt, off. Fairway, green, two-putt, off. Hit the green on a par three, two putt off.
Love that.
I think I bogeyed the first hole, and then I had two birdies after that, and the rest I parted out.
Yeah, because that was our major day.
Yeah.
That was the second round of our major. Second day, and you, like, I had laid down, what did I shoot? I shot the 69 shot that day, 69. My second 69. Yeah, that was my second 69. I shot a 69 on the first day of the major, and I was like, well, it's all but over now. You guys got to put down a hell of a round tomorrow.
I had to come out and put down an epic round. Well, I went one under for through nine, and I'm like, oh. And we kind of passed on the first and 18th tee box, and he kind of asked me how my day was going, and I was like, really good.
Yeah, and Clark's like, I was like, was he one under or even or one under? And Clark's like, yeah. And I'm like, really? And he's like, yeah, he's one under. I'm like, oh shit. And I mean, I was playing, I think I ended up 10 over for the day. And I was like, yeah, 76.
But then I made the turn and we went to the front nine and I went 12 over for the next nine. So
it was ridiculous.
But I shot the front later on in the year, even par. Yep. So again, when you play golf, Alvin, like
that's not how golf works, though, man. It's got to happen all in one round, right?
Oh, dude, I know. But that's again, the tough part. When you talk about milestones, like I played nine holes now, you know, even and one under.
Yeah.
And you get you feel how that golf is, and man, for a guy like me who the mental game is really tough in golf for me because focus and.
Oh yeah, it's hard to focus in golf,
dude. Again, one bad shot could just derail me. Like there's no tomorrow. I mean, it gets in my head, and I forget how to play the game.
I don't think I get derailed. I think I just, like, I don't know.
I know I get derailed, holes, like totally derailed. Like 18 holes can be a lot of holes. Like I'll forget how to swing. Like I get to a point where it's like I just went to Walmart, picked up a set of clubs, and went out and did this for the first time. And I've played like 300 rounds in the last
three. It's years. True. He'll be just flying along, and I'll just come up out of nowhere. But I think part of it is because he's so used to being in, like, because he does hit so many fairways.
Yeah.
He's so used to putting himself in good spots for that second shot. And then when he does make a miss on the first shot, it's like he got better as the year went along this year. But previously it's been like, you know, he's in a trouble spot and he's like, I just don't have a shot for here.
Well, even from the fairway, like, because again, we play at a course where it's kind of short. I don't have the 50 to 80 yard shot.
Yeah, and that's a shot you need.
And from where we play and how we play, I need that shot. And I just don't have it. I'm not confident enough in that shot.
Like 50 to 80 yards? All right, why don't you just try like that Bryson stuff, like slow it down and kind of do it as like a pendulum and stuff. It can be just pretty straightforward that way.
You just need to work on it. Like, I don't, like, because we play a lot of golf.
It's the hardest shot. It's probably the hardest shot in golf is to actually like practice that, those 50 to 80 yard shots.
Oh, I mean, that's, if he would spend some time on the range, I mean, he'd be just
fine. I did early in the year and my game was pretty good. I mean,
you want to look at the difference in the season. It's
for the third straight year, I came in second in the chase for the cup. For the third straight year. Yeah, I don't have a chase for the cup W yet.
Always a bridesmaid, never the bride.
But three straight years of second place. So I'm there.
Yeah.
And I have a tour championship jacket. And that you can never take away from
me. The only reason you have that is because I was injured.
Hey,
so.
And I got it in the closet, and I'm not giving it up. So, but next year.
Still won it, man.
Yeah.
And he had to put it on me.
Yeah, so yeah, there you that go. Hurt a little bit. But you had to put mine back on me this year.
I did, so, and that didn't sting as much as the first year when I had to put it on.
Yeah, I mean, I got the first career Grand Slam all in one season.
You did.
Totally, I got them all.
Totally swept the awards this year, and yeah, it stings a little bit.
But so I mean, you guys said next year you might be doing a little bit something different.
So like next, next,